Well, good morning again. Try to switch gears and get set here. It's been a rough week with this message. Definitely a spiritual battle has been going on inside. But this is a topic that I think is not talked about enough. I think our life as Christians has become watered down and frilly and only tell the good stuff and not worry about the whole scriptures. I remember I did a funeral for a man, one of my good friend's dads, at a huge church. And when I do a funeral, I always talk about heaven and hell. That's what I do. And I had two people come to me and said, you know, I haven't heard hell talked about in church for a long time. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. So today we're going to look at this difficult topic, and I don't have enough time to go through everything. So I'm hoping to pick on the big point. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. I opted not to have anybody read scripture. I wanted to read it myself today. So if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you're in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. We've had someone rise from the dead, and they still won't listen. So this morning I want to begin, I want to ask you three questions that I'm going to ask you at the end. But I'm going to give them to you up front, because I want you to think about them. Number one, I'm already a follower of Jesus Christ, and because of that, I'm not going to hell. And if that's the truth, you're rejoicing. Number two, I am deciding today to follow Jesus Christ so that I will not go to hell. Or number three, I still have questions. Do any of you still have questions? Absolutely. Just so you know, this is not a gospel presentation. This is not to get you to come to know the Lord. This is for you to go tell other people about the Lord. I don't think we're doing our jobs. This is the greatest decision in life that we will ever make. So the question is hell real? Is it real? I've had so many people over the course of my believing life ask me this question. Is it real or is it not real? Yes or no? When we come to this question whether hell is real or not, we have two choices. First, we believe it is, or what's the other one? Or it's not. It's pretty simple. However, with all the evidence that we have, there are some Christians today who do not believe in the reality of hell. You probably know some. People who deny hell do it for many reasons. So why do some deny hell and some not? Some argue that hell is not a biblical doctrine. Some will say it's not biblical. Now listen, anybody ever heard of Rob Bell? Anybody? Okay, we got one person that's heard of Rob Bell. Another one. Rob Bell used to be a pastor in a city really close to where I was a pastor. He was in Mars Hill. Now don't get it confused. The Mars Hill in Granville is not the Mars Hill that has several different campuses across the country. Rob Bell started that church, I think it was in 98, 99, something like that. And he left it September 9th of 2011. That church, when he left, had like 5 or 6,000 people in it. Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins. He's a believer. In this book, he says hell does not exist. That's what his claim is. Hell does not exist. So here, Rob Bell was a teaching pastor of thousands, and he's telling them hell doesn't exist because God is a God of love. It's full of all kinds of inaccuracies. Do you know why he says hell doesn't exist? Because it was before the crucifixion. It was before Jesus on the cross. That's why he says it does not exist today. One of my problems this morning is I don't have the time, like I said, to give all of the scriptures to support hell. But actually, how much biblical proof do you really need? Do we need one verse? 10 verses? 100 verses? How many do we need to really grasp it? So the notion of hell has ceased to exist at the cross, that Rob Bell would say. I want to point to Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. This is Paul. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. I love that. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. Verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. But then if we go on to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. If hell didn't exist, why would Paul even care? Why would he care? Why would we care if hell doesn't truly exist? If you believe that hell exists or doesn't exist, why would we even care? Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer for God for them is for their salvation. Notice the slide background today? Cute little flame, isn't it? Do you know how hot flames are? Do you know how bad it hurts and burns? Anybody have burnt themselves? How long is it there, that pain? If you burn yourself pretty bad, it's there, and every time you will touch it, and unless your wife or mom has this secret elixir and puts it on, it's gone. Or an oil for that. I mean, who doesn't have an oil nowadays? Tori, you know, I talked about it the last time I burnt myself. Tori has this special elixir that she concocted from all these natural stuff and seeds and vegetables and whatever. It's the only time I get vegetables. But you put it on and it's like, poof, it's gone. But hell, it never leaves. It's always there. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit with the youth group now. And I was talking about how the Holy Spirit illuminates us and lets us allow to see what Scripture is actually saying and what God is doing to us. Hell is so dark that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. I shut the lights off in here and I said, okay, you know what? Put your hand in front of your face. And they're all like, yeah, I can kind of see it. And I'm like, I can't see it at all. But then I'm like, you're young, I'm not. But you can't do that in hell. But it's so hot, your skin still boils. Does that bother you to know that other people are going to do that, see that if you don't talk with them? So it's difficult to argue against hell. Romans 20, chapter 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Pretty clear to me. Oh, look what that's after. The cross. Do you see the inaccuracies in Rob Bell's and other people's, their liberal thinking? He was thrown in to the lake of fire. Some argue that hell is not a logical doctrine. That's just not logical. Their argument against hell is more an argument of logic. Philosophically, they argue that if God is a God of love, there can be no hell. I love this point. This is hilarious to me. Some of you think I'm warped, but that's okay. This is the position of a noted atheist, Bertrand Russell. He wrote an essay in 1920s. It says, "Why am I not a Christian? Why am I not a Christian?" And he says this: Christ believed in hell. I do not myself feel that any person who is really profoundly humane can believe in everlasting punishment. That's his take on the whole thing. Well, let me tell you something. How can a perfectly God send someone to hell? Anybody want to answer that to me? Go ahead.
Just giving them what they want, the universe without
him. That's an awesome answer. However, along those same notions, God doesn't send anyone to hell. And Ari answered it kind of the same, because hell was created for the devil and his demons. We send ourselves to hell, like Ari said, because gave them what they wanted. Just didn't want to be with God. Now, does that mean that we're going to live a perfect life? I mean, come on. We're all going to screw up, right? We're all going to sin. We're all going to have spiritual battles. But beyond that, we cannot begin to understand the love of God until we understand the reality of hell. We cannot understand it. For you parents out there, have you ever not corrected your child? Ever not corrected them? Flo, Traven is a youngin. You ever not corrected him? Why? But why does he need to learn? Because you what to him?
I love him.
There you go. Because you love him. And that's what God does to us. He corrects us because he loves us. We cannot understand the love of God until we understand hell. God does not want us in hell. It's for the demons and Satan. We send ourselves to hell. Only in seeing the reality of hell can we truly understand this. So, hell is for real. Without a shadow of a doubt, hell is real. And since it's for real, we need to understand certain things about it. Hell is literal. Some believers, some theologians, they will take scripture and they say, well, it's not all literal. It's not literally what it's saying. Hell is literal. Remember, guys, God is not a God of confusion. He's not going to give us something that's going to, well, does scripture confuse you sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
But what does Acts chapter 1, verse 8 say? He will send you a helper. He sends us the Holy Spirit to illuminate us, to help us understand, to be able to not be confused. And since it's for real, we have to understand this. Verse 23 of Luke chapter 16. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. Can you picture this? If you close your eyes, can you picture it? I picture it probably way different than a lot of people do. But now, living in Vermont and living in a valley, you got mountains here and mountains there. I picture it as Lazarus is on one mountain and the rich man is on another mountain, and the chasm down below, they can't get across it, but yet you can see. Aubrey tried to kill me yesterday. This is a testimony of the Lord's power. We have the lift there. Some Amish men are working on our roof, screwing it down, and I am terrified of heights. All right, let me rephrase that. I'm not necessarily terrified of heights. I'm afraid of the fall. And we get on the lift, and it's 45 feet in the air, and you guys know my barn. She wants to put Christmas lights on the outside of the barn. And she's like, it's a beautiful day, let's do this. And I said, okay. not thinking. So I get in there, and we're down low. This isn't so bad. Then we get all the way to the top. And I am white-knuckling that thing so bad, I can barely move. And Aubrey starts to bounce. I wanted to throw her out. And I'm like, stop moving. But when we were up there, she's like, Dad, I can take a picture without any of the power lines or anything, which was not on my mind at all. Like, big deal. I don't care. But as I'm up there, I did look, and I could see Lowell Mountain. I could see the ledges in a different perspective. I could see Burton Hill in a different perspective. And, of course, this message was on my mind because I was speaking it today, and that's all I could think of is how it was out of the rich man's grasp, but it was too late. It's not too late for us. It's not too late for our family and friends. Hell is for real. It's a literal place of torment. People want to talk about the justice or fairness of God when debating the existence of hell. Have anybody heard that before? That's just not fair. You want fair? It's just not just. Do we want just? What about the fairness of God in writing to us through inspired men to make us believe in our literal place of hell? We cannot say that we just don't understand. We can't. If we decide there is not a literal place of hell, now I want you to pay attention to this. If you take notes, write notes, put this down, make this quote. If we do not agree or believe in a literal place of hell, then you better apply those same rules to heaven. If we don't agree with a literal hell, then we can't surely agree with a literal heaven. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Hell is eternal. Hell is eternal. Some are arguing, some are going to argue that hell is not forever, ever. And the technical term is annihilation. But what do we see in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46? These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Eternal punishment. There is no escaping it. Once you're there, you're there. It's not come or go. Anybody want to go to hell yet? Just for a visit? Hell is horrible. Look, I don't like the heat. I think it was Thursday. Thursday got really sunny. It was beautiful, wasn't it? I was praising the Lord when I was in the bottom of my barn because it was cooler. It was hot. I'm not a person that's going to enjoy hell. Therefore, praise the Lord, I don't have to go. That in itself is enough to make you believe. Torment is the word that grabs my attention. Torture. All right? If you can't figure out the torment, the torture. Any of you want to be tortured? Like, can't wait to have your nails pulled out or your nose hairs pulled, men? We all know that doesn't feel good. I see women that stand in front of the mirror and they pull their eyebrows out. That just excruciating. My sister, she went to school to be a beautician, and she had this little, excuse my language, but she had this little bowl of hell. It was hot wax. And I'm serious, I watched Tori and other people with my sisters, like, they painted it on. And they put this paper on there, and they ripped it off, and their eyes were like fire. Like, that's torture. That doesn't even come close to what hell is. Doesn't even come close. They do that willingly. Hell is horrible. Ultimately, and Ari kind of quoted, kind of alluded to it on his answer. This one makes me want to cry. Hell is the absence of God. The absence of God. It's the absence of her earth and history. Even in our darkest of days, we do not know what the absolute absence of God is like. We cannot understand it. Mark chapter 9, 45 and 46. To be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That last part, the fire is not quenched. It continually burns over and over again. Anybody ever smelled burnt flesh? Oh, it's horrific. We used to live down the road from an incinerator for a hog farm. We didn't smell it a lot, but on certain days you knew when they were cooking because it just came right over to you, and it was horrible. Or if you start a fire and it comes back, Dan, you've probably done this. Start a fire and it comes back and it sends your eyebrows, your beard, your hair. It's the most vilest smell ever. Now remember, you have burning flesh. It's hot. It's dark. Now add the smell to it constantly. Are you getting a good picture? Blech. Makes me want to gag. But good news. Hell is avoidable. Praise God, hell is avoidable. Like right now, you should be like hooping and hollering, like, yeah! Yeah! That's right. Hell is avoidable. The purpose of Jesus coming is that hell is avoidable. You will either be judged according to your works or his works. Which one do you want? Oh, that gives me goosebumps. I'm telling you. I'm sorry, yes, I might be stepping on people's toes, I might get in trouble, but I just don't understand people's faith that believe they have to have good works to get to heaven. You're trying to outdo your neighbor. That totally goes against Scripture and humility and being humble. We work for Christ. He's already done the work for us. Hell is avoidable. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved us so much that he sent his perfect Son for our imperfect world. Because hell is avoidable. Amen. Ah, gives me goosebumps. Revelations chapter 20, 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now I'm a visual person. And the way I visualize this, COVID has helped me with this visualization. Anybody go to Walmart with the gates and you had to stand in line 6 feet apart waiting to get in? That's what I envision this as. We're all standing in line waiting to get in. Some are able to go in, some aren't. And then you see the lake of fire way down. So I'm up on the lift. I would have to be several hundred more feet in the air. That wouldn't happen. But the lake of fire is, and you just see all these people getting thrown off a cliff, thrown into the lake of fire, one after another. Why do I say it like this? I want you to think about this now. Now it's getting into where you guys have to deal with this. As you see those people being thrown off this cliff, that could be your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, your uncles, your best friend, your husband, your wife. Does that put it into context of where you come in? We're getting there. Hell is avoidable. Agree with God that you're a sinner and that your sin separates you from the holy God. Accept his work on the cross as a complete answer for your separation caused by sin. Surrender your life to him for the rest of your life. That's the part that's hard. surrendering your life to Him for the rest of your earthly life. Everything. If God says get rid of your car, get rid of your car. That was just one that came to my mind. If God says follow me, go to a different state, go to a different state. If God says go into ministry, go into ministry. If God says, you know what, just be in the background and serve, do that. If it's against your comfort zone, but the Lord's calling you to do it, remember, He sent His Son, His perfect Son, to die for us. We do it. So to the one who has yet to believe in Jesus in order to avoid hell, I begin by telling you that I will ask you to make a decision today. I'm going to ask this again. Number one, and we're not done yet. I'm already a follower of Jesus Christ, and because of that, I'm not going to tell. Praise the Lord. You should all be praising the Lord if that's you right now. Amen.
Amen.
Raising your hands. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. But you have to ask yourself a question. Am I really a true follower of Jesus Christ? Now, you got to lose your salvation, but what I'm asking you is, are you truly following what God has called you to do? 100%. Listen, it's more than just getting that free gift of life and saying, praise the Lord, I'm not going to hell. It doesn't just stop there. If you love me, keep my commandments. Just so you all know, there's about 1,050 in the New Testament commands. Are you following them all? Probably not. I know I'm not. Number two, I'm deciding today to follow Jesus Christ, though I will not go to hell. Woohoo! Praise the Lord! I don't know about you, but that excites me. Some of you are like, ah, maybe. I mean, this is the greatest thing ever! It's the best present you could ever get. I will never forget some of the presents I've gotten. And I'm like, what are you thinking? Aubrey, like on a weekly basis now, because she didn't have the money at the time, apparently, to get me something for my birthday. And she's like, Dad, I should just tell you what I was going to get you, so then you can go get it and I'll pay you back. No. So now it's like, oh, Dad, I should go get your birthday present. So finally, I'm just like, Aubrey, sweetie, it's the thought that counts. It's all that matters. I don't need your present. Because I know what she was going to get me, and she didn't realize I already had three of them. But I'm like, sweetie, it's just the thought. Guess what? This is more than a thought. This is an actual action. God actually did this for us. And the third one, I still have questions. That will, just so you all know, that probably reaches all of you. Unless you're like this great theologian and can give scripture 100% and you know what it all says, we still all have questions. But we can't question ourselves to the point of hell. I've heard it over and over again. People are like, well, I just don't understand, or I'm still questioning this. Okay. Well, first of all, you're never going to get it unless you have the Holy Spirit. It's just not going to happen. I've talked about it over and over again. I love Penn and Teller. They're a magic group. And Penn is probably one of the most prolific atheists you will ever meet. He has this memorized. But he doesn't understand it because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. We are ambassadors for Christ. All of us who are believers, we are ambassadors. I was so tickled to death. Several weeks back, we were doing praise and prayer, and there were like five of you that were talking about how, you know, I'm talking to this person, or I'm praying to be able to talk with this person. That was so stinking exciting for me. I actually called two pastors that day. I'm like, man, can you believe our praise and prayer? And they're all like, oh, that's great. You know why they said it like way that way? Because it's not happening there. God's alive here. Praise God for that.
Amen.
We are ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. See, I didn't just make it up. You can't make this stuff up. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Just please do it. I don't care what your past was. I don't care what you went through. I don't care who you wronged. I don't care who hates you. God doesn't. It's a clean slate. It's gone. It's over with. Besides, it's either heaven or hell. You can have them both. Now, I have a quote that I'm going to read you. I love this quote. If I wasn't afraid of needles and it wasn't so stinking long, I'd have it tattooed on my back. But it's way too long, and I don't want needles. I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselyze. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, and atheists who think people should proselytize and who say, just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? Get the point? How much do you have to hate them that you might look weird saying it? Or they might say, no. I mean, if I believed beyond the shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe that truck was bearing down on you, there is a certain point where I'll tackle you. And this is more important than that. What an amazing quote. Do you believe that? Guess who said this quote? Penn from Penn and Teller, one of the biggest, most world-renowned atheists. Those were his words. Why do you think Penn's an atheist? Because the believers around him don't care. Our Christianity has become such a watered-down, sissified Christianity that we're afraid to step on people's toes. We're afraid to share the gospel because of what we might look like. And we just don't care. We don't care. We're more worried about what somebody's going to think of us than what they think about God and where they're going to spend the rest of their life. There was a pastor who gave a message for the National Day of Prayer. He spoke about the crisis that we have in America. He spoke about the leadership crisis, the economic crisis, and the moral crisis. All reasons for earnest prayer. After the program was over, a man in his 80s came up to him with tears in his eyes. He said, Pastor, I don't really disagree with anything you said, except I would like to add that the real crisis in America is that there are people all around me who are dying and going to hell, many of whom are my dear friends. Tears in his eyes. God, give us that passion for the believers, unbelievers in our lives that we say we love, but we don't love them enough to push them out of the truck taking them to hell. Because hell is real. It's a horrible, avoidable place. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. Lord, hell isn't the most easy thing to talk about. But Lord, I pray that we would understand that it's literal. And Lord, that we would understand what we've been through and what we can avoid. Lord, give us all the power and the strength to stand up and face our fears. And Lord, do what you've called us to do, to be those ambassadors, to keep people from hell. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name.